and welcome back to the Second Screening Podcast. My name is Nick Lane, and with me, as always, is my very good friend, Matthew.
What's up, Internet?
So, a funny thing happened. We said that we were going to watch Popcorn 2007.
I watched Popcorn. You didn't watch Popcorn?
I'm amazed that you watched Popcorn, because that movie might as well not exist.
So, the year is 2016, and I have this naive belief that basically I can get anything, no matter what it is, instantaneously. And apparently that assumption is not true.
Yeah, I looked for this movie everywhere. Popcorn 2007, that is to say. But we couldn't find it. It's not available to download on torrent. It's not streaming.
Whoa. We don't torrent. That'd be illegal.
I was just seeing what the black market may have.
Wait. What kind of stuff can you get on torrents? Can you get pornography? Asking for a friend.
I mean,
we don't do that. Doesn't matter. Move it on. Okay.
So I also went to our very large and having of obscure movie rental place called Scarecrow, and it didn't even have it. It was unbelievable. So we couldn't find that anywhere.
Yeah, we checked the Flox, Amazon Prime. So if anybody has a copy of Popcorn 2007, keep it, because I'm pissed off at it.
Yeah, and if you have a copy, also keep it.
Hey.
So anyway, in order to actually have something to watch, we decided to review a different movie. The movie that we switched to this month is called Heathers.
Heathers.
Wait, what was that?
That's weird.
Greetings and salutations.
Matt!
Christian Slater! I mean, Matt!
Oh my gosh, this is Christian Slater, special guest!
Wow, what are you doing in my house?
Nicholas Lane, I want to thank you for inviting me to this podcast.
I don't think we invited you.
Yeah, no one invited you. In fact, you came in through the window, from what I could tell.
A broken house.
That would actually be a characteristic of your character in this movie.
That's incredible.
I'm a bad guy.
You know, that's probably the fifth worst lesson you could learn from this movie. There's actually no good lessons you could learn from this movie, I think.
There are some lessons in this movie, and the biggest lesson is to hang out with Christian Slater so that he shows up on my podcast.
Yeah, excellent.
My podcast.
No, so our friend Matthew...
It's podcast.
It's podcast.
Podcast.
Like I was saying, our friend Matthew...
Wait, I thought we were going to call him Matt for confusion.
My bad.
There's two Matt.
And you made up this stupid rule!
Sons of bitches.
So our friend Matt has decided to join us by no coercion of our own to help us review this movie, Heathers. Hey, shut up.
Yeah, we did basically e-bully him into this. And I know about e-bullying.
Yep.
All right, so Matthew, can you give us some quick facts about this movie?
If I was prepared, I would have. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can stall fast enough. It's basically a race.
I can pause the...
No, we can't. You should have kept it. It would have been funnier.
Wet and wild, hot and fast.
Okay, so as always, the movie stars Christian Slater. I think everybody knows Christian Slater. If not, you should watch Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow! That's the only movie that I actually remember.
He was also in Hard Rain.
Don't know it.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll actually talk when we start about why I picked Heathers, because it's Christian Slater is important to my memory of this movie. Winona Ryder, Shake Sonora, Beetlejuice, of course, mm-hmm. Stranger Things, more recently topical. We dated ourselves, greenfielded ourselves, or whatever it is.
Oh, I also want to say, yeah, technically...
Technically speaking, listen, guys.
Yeah.
I want to tell you what.
Technically speaking, it's evergreen. So yeah, the evergreenness of us has been destroyed also, because we've established that it is when Stranger Things is coming out.
Yeah, well, when Stranger Things was so fantastic. So the director is Michael Lehman, and sorry to a Nikki, I don't know the facts as well as I would, at least not about this gentleman. I think the key here, the one that I wanted to bring up, is he directed 40 Days and 40 Nights with Josh Hartnett, of course. Yeah, with the, I remember that scene with the Buttersworth and sticking her boob. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up was The Truth About Cats and Dogs, because I have I do consider the 90s the ultimate decade, and so like all I want to do is sit in Starbucks, listen to Starbucks rock, and think about 90s movies, and The Truth About Cats and Dogs was like one of my 10 90s movies, and so I guess he directed that, which I'm grateful for. Janine Garofalo, and
I'm gonna be honest, I've never seen that movie.
I am right with you on that one, Nicholas, because apparently I watched too much Nickelodeon and I never saw any movies, because all I know is Stick Stigley, Ren Stimpy, Rugrats, Finger Beavers, Rocco.
Yeah,
I didn't watch movies. So what was Cats and Dogs?
Oh, yeah. So The Truth About Cats and Dogs was This could be another second screening because the last time I saw it was probably 20 years ago. Basically, Janine Garofalo and Uma Thurman are friends, and one likes cats, and one likes... It's just a rom-com.
We might as well watch that then.
Yeah, we might as well. We'll
some other time.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Wow, we are wildly off topic.
No, we're not that off topic.
90s.
This is actually relevant.
It's like way in the 80s.
I will admit, sometimes we do get super off topic, but this is actually relevant. So those are my Matthews facts, which are terrible, and somebody who's Greg probably knows way more facts than them.
That's true. And I actually am glad for that because I was interested to see what else this director had done because we'll get into this later, but there are some things that this director did that I was like, I thought that this person had a very specific style that they were going for, and I'm not inclined, based on those movies that you've said, I'm not inclined to believe that that's the case.
Well, so I think what this director was doing with this movie was they're trying to do like an anti-Howard Hughes. It was like the anti-16 Candles.
Oh,
it was black comedy, but it was like in the same era with the growing up and high school and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah. It might be the rise, not recent necessarily, but probably more in the movies you see, the rise of the anti-hero because everybody got sick of the hero.
Yeah.
So I'm sure in the late 80s, everybody got sick of the hero.
You know what that reminds me of today? Hughes. What this movie reminds me of today that they did back in the 80s is Deadpool. So we have our Deadpool, which is essentially our Heather, or their Heathers.
Yeah, I'll
and
buy
so
that.
It's like we have all these like all these crazy superhero movies, and then it's like, oh, we're getting bored of this. Boom, and then you have Deadpool. I this is what Heathers reminds me of.
You heard it. Matt hates John Hughes.
I hate John Hughes.
So Heathers begins with kind of an odd scene. It starts with three girls sitting in the middle of, they're not even Rose Garden.
It's a croquet pitch.
Yeah, well, it's someone's backyard.
Person's backyard.
A Quidditch pitch.
Yeah. Ah, yes. You know what? You're absolutely right. I should have identified that from the beginning. So it is a Quidditch pitch.
What's the history of Quidditch?
Anyway. So, the three girls are sitting in the middle of a semicircle.
Yes.
Which I thought were roses at first, but it turns out they were like carnations, I think. And then they just suddenly get up at the same time and then just step all over the flowers. Like, I guess establishing that they're fucking bitches.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, and then they go and begin playing croquet.
Yes.
And it's just kind of weird. Everyone's just like taking their turns and like talking to each other.
Well, it's not weird. It's croquet.
Well, yeah, but they were doing it in such a kind of an odd way. And you'll find out why in just a second.
Sure.
And then everyone's referring to each other by their first name. And each of those three girls' first name is Heather.
And that's the name of the movie.
Very psychotic. But it sets a scene. The rich bitches got it.
Yeah. Who else would play croquet other than the richest bitches?
Golf or croquet?
So it turns out that they're playing croquet. And the peg that they're trying to hit is Winona Ryder's face.
And is it real or is it a dream? Because when I first watched it, I was like, this is a dream. But then nothing told me this is a dream. And I was like, did they actually bury her? Also, the grass around here looks mighty nice.
Yeah.
And as a gentleman trying to go grass right now, it's hard.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that later.
The grass?
Yeah, we'll totally get into the grass.
It was crabgrass. Kentucky Blue, I believe.
Yes. So, anyway, moving on from there, it goes to a scene with with Veronica.
Yes, Veronica sitting
on the stairs, writing in her diary with way too big of handwriting.
And it's super dramatic movements, too, which I love seeing in movies. I have, dear diary, and I'm like, you're going to run out. That's going to take a page.
Yeah. It's like, very dramatic writing.
And yes.
So I was amazed by that. As a person who likes to write in really awesome...
Fountain pen.
I want you to post a picture and then see if anybody can read this, because I guarantee they can't. Because he's saying it's awesome and nobody can read it. It's cursive and it's the worst.
Yeah, it's great. But anyway,
it's not bad.
I write in cursive, and she was just like taking up... I would be done with 5 notebooks by the time I was done writing whatever diary that she was writing.
Your writings aren't full of things.
So, yeah, that's true. So she gets pulled into the lunchroom by one of the Heathers. Yellow. I like to refer to them by their colors because wear color-coded costumes.
Absolutely.
There's Heather Red, who's the leader. Yep. They're yellow. And then Heather Green.
And Black, which is Winona.
Well, that's, but she's not Veronica.
Veronica is not a Heather.
Oh,
But she is hanging out in the Heather's clique, yes, despite not being. And she wears black / blue, because her color for croquet later on is blue, and she's always wearing blue leggings.
Huh.
What do those colors mean? It's a deeper meaning.
Don't know. Anyway, so while in the lunchroom, you know, they're kind of establishing the characters a bit. They're, you know, bantering back and forth and kind of just showing off how much they just hate each other. Mm-hmm. And they start this thing, which apparently has been this ongoing thing, where they do a lunchtime poll.
Lunchtime poll!
I don't know. I don't understand it, but...
Dude, I mean, admit it. When we were in middle school and high school, we did dumb crap like this all the time.
That's true, actually.
And
I can get,
80s.
I can get into a story about that some other time.
I played Pogs and played Pokemon cards.
Wow. That's dope, though.
In high school?
Middle school.
Oh, okay. They're in high school. Yeah. Also, were Pogs still popular in middle school?
Don't greenfield us. Or anti-greenfield us. I don't remember these things.
I still have my Pogs, by the way.
I actually do too. I'll post a picture of Pogs on the website.
Did you not have Pogs?
No, I had Pogs. I got rid of them after fifth grade. By the way, I'm a 30-year-old.
I'm going to put it on our Pinterest.
Wow. The thing that we don't have.
We need one of those.
We don't. You can start it if you want.
I mean...
Anyway, so they start a lunchtime poll about some dumb question about, like, if you had $1 million, if you suddenly had $1 million and then 2 days left to live, essentially, what would you do with it?
No, aliens. The aliens come down to, no, don't you finger roll.
Yeah, yeah. Roll the wrist, roll it. Yeah, yeah. Move along.
The aliens are important. And then, okay, go ahead. Acknowledge the aliens right now.
Yeah, okay. So the poll was,
yes,
you inherited $1 million, and then suddenly, after 2 days, aliens come and destroy the Earth.
No, they say they're going to destroy the Earth. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I don't think you watched the movie.
You're right, I don't. Turns out I didn't watch this movie. So no, anyway, so they go around and talk to a bunch of people who say a bunch of stupid bullshit, essentially. Especially the jocks. I hated theirs.
Yeah, well, it's established.
But anyway, they go around to different groups of people, kind of establishing the hierarchy. Like, the people that the Heathers will talk to are at this echelon, and they even establish at this point that there are certain people that they won't talk to, like the Geek Squad. And then as soon as the Heathers all look at the geeks, one of them immediately starts choking on their milk and goes, "Heather number one looked at me." So it's in this sequence that you're introduced basically to every character that's going to be in the movie.
It's the round table.
Yeah, the round table of the main characters and also the side characters. You have the fat girl named Laura Dump Truck.
Was it Laura or Martha?
I can't remember.
I thought it was Martha.
Something Dump Truck.
Martha. Well, you know, you're right, because Dump Truck will get the point across.
Yeah, she was the fat girl, the regrettably fat girl, the jocks, and then Christian Slater's character.
JD. Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Jason Dean,
aka James Dean.
Because I swear to God, as soon as I heard his name, I was like, James Dean?
And I was like, I've seen these videos on somethinghub.com. Moviehub.com, you gross people! Inappropriate.
So,
wait,
Veronica goes up.
Hold on. We have Christian Slater here. Should we get Christian Slater's answer to what he would do? Do you remember Christian Slater?
I don't.
I'd get a bottle of tequila, a rowboat, I'd go out to the middle of a lake with my sax and some Bach. Yeah. That was it.
Was the most pretentious fucking answer on the planet.
I feel like they looked up, they're like, what do pretentious people do? They're like, Bach? Cool. Okay. Saxophone. Got it.
Never established in the movie after that he actually owns a saxophone.
Nor that he drinks tequila.
Fair enough.
Is tequila pretentious?
No, tequila is Donald Trump liquor. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, exactly.
He should have said, he should have said either brandy or scotch. But hey, moving on. Yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt.
It's all good. So he is introduced to Veronica by her going up and to him and asking the question. They've been, like, giving each other eyes since this scene has began.
I notice you noticing me.
Yeah, essentially. And she goes up to him and says, I don't know, kind of a grin line, like, this is a really stupid question. He goes, there is no stupid question. She asks him this incredibly stupid question, and he actually says, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard. And then he answers with incredibly pretentious, I'd go out to a rowboat and J-O into my saxophone or whatever.
Did I do the thing again where I jumped ahead?
Slightly, but it's
classic
fine.
Me.
Anyway, so,
I'd love this party.
During this scene, the jocks are, like, getting a bit antsy. They're like, because earlier, one of the jocks was like, oh, I'd love to get between a Veronica and Heather sandwich, blah, 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 and they're being incredibly gross. And so Veronica and Jason are talking, and they're kind of clearly into each other.
There's tension.
Yeah.
There's tension.
Yeah, exactly. And so she leaves finally after Veronica Red shows up, the leader. And
Heather Red.
Heather Red, sorry, shows up and pulls her away, not even acknowledging Jason. And then at that point, the jocks are like, one of the jocks is like, Ram, I believe his name. Ram is like, let's go beat him up. And the guy's like, we're seniors, we can't do this stuff anymore, but let's go give him a scare, as if that's better.
Yeah.
And then they go and like put their hand in his food.
Which scares me.
Yeah, which is like the Quentin Tarantino, like, if you control someone's food, you control the power, essentially.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, we can get into that later.
I mean, I love Quentin Tarantino, but yeah, we'll save that.
Yeah, there's a Cracked video that basically describes that, and it's pretty great. But anyway, puts his hand in his food, he's like, oh, are you going to eat that? And they're basically, you know, hazing this new kid. And they say, but there was a pretty good back and forth where they're like, you know, there's a ban on fags in this cafeteria. And he goes, well, there's clearly not treatises on assholes. And they're like, what do you say to me? And they're like, start to go, like, fight the kid, and he pulls out a gun and fires two shots. Bam, bam. And you're just like, holy shit. Nope. This guy pulled out a gun in a school. What the fuck?
Pre-Columbine.
Turns out they were just blanks.
Just blanks.
And you find that out because the scene immediately jumps to the Heathers and Veronica playing croquet in what turns out to be Veronica's backyard.
Yep.
It's Veronica's backyard.
Yes.
And so they are talking about it. Some of them feel that he should be expelled. Everyone else is like, he's just going to get suspended. Who cares? Who, they're just blanks. Like,
I know, Veronica cares.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee cares.
Yeah, Brandon Lee very much cares. Veronica was backing him up. Everyone else, all the other Heathers were like, he should be expelled or like put in jail or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Finally, Heather Yellow's mom shows up and they all have to leave. They're like, okay, whoever wants a ride, come with me. And so they go. And then Veronica sits down with her folks, who are the weirdest fucking parents on the planet.
They're not weird. They're basically the definition of WASP dismissive.
Yeah.
Right? As in they do everything that they're quote unquote supposed to do without actually raising their daughter per se.
Yeah, exactly.
And throughout the entire movie, they're doing the exact same thing over and over.
Yeah, they try to follow a script. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. Like the dad.
How is school? Very good. And the next thing, how is school? It's like over and over.
But they have this other thing where he sits down, like they do this twice where they go, take a break, sport.
And then
she sits down, and then he starts, like, doing something stupid.
He's like, why do I keep stabbing myself with this knife?
Yeah. Or he's like, why do I keep reading these spy novels?
Because you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
And then the mom goes, oh, you too. Yeah. And then Veronica goes, this pate is great, but I got to order if I got to do X.
Are you sure it was two and not three times? Because the comedy rule of three?
No, they kind of established, we'll get into this later, but they kind of established the pate in that third sense later.
Okay.
But they only do that bit twice.
Oh, okay.
So they do that. And then I believe, the reason why she had to motor is that she was getting ready to go to a college party with the Heathers at Remington University.
Yep. Obviously, as in Remington Shotgun University.
This podcast brought to you by Remington.
Obviously, the shotgun manufacturer is very concerned about the education of America. So, having been in Ohio for many years, I do know that Remington State University, RSU, Go Rems, is huge there, and I'll talk about that later. So, they do go to this frat party, and the one Heather is basically kind of the alpha female, despite the fact that she is 17 at a college party. Go Brock Heward? No, Brock Heward's like a wrestler.
Brock Lesnar?
No, Brock Lesnar's definitely a wrestler. Brock,
you're talking about the rapist.
Yeah.
The rapist Brock, whose last name I can't recall, which I actually need to look that up because I need to reference him by full name from now on as the rapist.
It might be Brock Larson. Also, Dayton, Ohio, and I'd know about that. But apologies.
Oh, was he from?
Yeah, the suburbs of Dayton, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, no doubt.
That doesn't surprise me remotely.
No doubt. Okay, we'll get into that later. So they go to a frat party, and basically Veronica does not want to have sex with the frat boys.
Yeah.
And the Heather does. I remember who.
No,
who
is she doesn't want to.
Veronica doesn't.
No, both of them actually.
Oh, don't. What is one like establishing power, and one just doesn't though?
Yes.
Who's the one where it's like, hey baby, like she's like, stop making out with me. And he's like, I can't. You're just so beautiful.
That is Heather. I had to actually figure that out as well. Because the problem with Heather Yellow and Heather Red is that they have the same hair color.
God, I love your sister.
Yeah. And so I couldn't figure out, at first I couldn't figure out which one that was. And then I realized that it's Heather Red.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. It is the Queen Heather.
Yeah. But so they start, he's like, they're making out. She's like, why don't we just get back to the party? He's like, I can't stop myself, baby. You're so beautiful. And so she instead gives him a head.
Yeah. Whoa. Inappropriate.
Okay.
Where there goes the iTunes, Stitcher, everything else ratings.
We're already marked as explicit.
Oh, no. Oh, we can swear?
Yeah.
No. Hey, we can swear. We need to celebrate.
Baba booey.
Okay, so they're at the college party, and the key here is Veronica throws up in the hallway, mm-hmm. which embarrasses Heather Red.
Yeah, which is
such a good system.
It's a great system, which is also kind of crazy though, because after giving head, Heather Red,
yeah, yeah,
is next seen drinking water from a fountain and then spits it at her reflection in the mirror.
Huh. Deep. Intense.
I'm just letting you know what happened.
I'm gonna bypass that. I'm sure it's significant. No, I believe you. I just don't remember that.
Yeah, and then after that is when...
Oh, okay. Throw up in the hall.
Well, what had originally happened also was that some guy was like hitting on Veronica. She's like, I'm going to give you the speech I give to every suitor.
And he's like, something. She's like, you're not worthy of my speech.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care about your speech. I just want to get laid.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? Harambe. Yeah.
Right. And also, if you forget, she'd like...
I did.
She was like lighting a match and playing with it, and then tried to put it out in a glass, and the glass had like apparently like nitrous oxide in it because it immediately erupts into flames.
Oh,
and she throws the cup out the window, and it lands in a trash can that only had newspapers in it, and so the trash can immediately lights on fire.
Yep. Dry newspaper recycling. Also, I'm so glad we kept the dynamic of like, hey, you can describe this scene, right? Oh, I got it. I forgot it all. Yeah. You filled in the details.
I don't know what the fuck you guys talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, newspaper trash can.
Yep.
Okay.
So she throws up in the hallway.
And thank God, I remember that. Yep. She throws up in the hallway, and then the next thing I remember is they're outside in some alley, and Heather Red is like, you're done, you're not popular, I'm gonna ruin you, and that upsets Veronica, which is important.
Kind of, but not really at the same time.
They fight,
but then Heather Red says, I invited you to this college party, and the only thing I was paid for in was puke. It's sitting back in the hallway, I was paid in puke. And then Veronica says, lick it up, baby. Lick it up.
I feel like that is a different way of saying what I said, where they were mad at each other.
Yeah, but Veronica isn't, the way that you said it made it sound like she was upset, like, oh, I'm really sad. Instead, it's more like,
oh, I thought, oh, all
right. She clearly hates Veronica.
Okay, they got beef.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah. Post-college party, they have beef. Why is that beef important? I'm gonna get to that, haters. All right, so they have beef because the next thing that happens is, you know, I assume they go their separate ways. Heather Red goes to her own house. Veronica goes to her house. And JD pulls a Sam from throwback. Wait, what do we call it? Shoutouts. Yeah. No, we don't say hashtag. We say shoutout. Shoutout. Clarissa explains it all. She pulls a Sam. JD pulls a Sam.
Climb through the window, baby.
Yeah, climbs a ladder through the window.
That's exactly what
wonderful. He pointed at his crappy handwriting and
creepy little notebook.
Yeah, creepy, yeah. In his creepy little notebook. Yeah. So JD pulls a Sam and crawls in through the window and, you know, basically says like, hey, what's going on?
I actually want to make a point of order that in this case, it could be a throw forward because Clarissa explains it all came after this.
93? Thank you.
I don't know how time works.
Okay.
I assume that time operates on my schedule. Though I did actually probably see this before. No, you're technically correct. The best guy is correct. Okay, so, yes. So, Sam from Clarissa Explains It All pulls a JD from Heather's in the future. Mm-hmm. But JD comes in through the window, and they're talking, and basically he says, hey, I saw a croquet set out back. Are you up for a game?
Which is weird, because why was he in the backyard first?
Aren't you?
I can see the
point. We were all in high school. It's like, hey, this girl's pretty cute. I'm going to hang out in the backyard in case she comes home and I can crawl through a window.
I throw rocks or pine cones or whatever at the window.
Yeah. What? Ow! Are your parents awake? They are now. Love it.
I feel like we had different high school experiences. Partially because you went to Running Start.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, community college, what's up? That's what we do.
Smart guy, got it,
That's a fact. Okay, they then play strip croquet. I tried to envision how these rules would work.
So, are you sure it was strip croquet, or was it just simply, let's play croquet and then rip off your
clothes? No, it was strip croquet because the clothes...
was
are strewn about the yard.
Yeah, yeah, as in, like, I get this next wicket, I get, like,
it's I'm
like,
assuming it's like, if it goes through, yeah, one of the hoops.
Wicket.
Wickets, I guess they're wickets, then you take off a piece of clothes, but it actually kind of makes me want to try that.
I assume if you have some tea with the queen and some crumpets, then you take off your clothes!
Wow, have you ever seen Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Yeah.
We actually referenced it in the last episode. You sounded like one of the robots.
Crow? Was it Crow?
Gypsy.
Oh, Gypsy! The purple one. The vacuum cleaner looking one. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, I know this one. Yeah. Very high pitch, annoying. Hate that one.
That hit. Listen up, I have two voice modes. Monotone and apparently Gypsy.
Cat. Gypsy monotone.
I've listened to myself while running on the treadmill, because I have an 8-pack, and nobody can prove me wrong who's listening to this. So I've listened to myself while running on the treadmill, and all I hear is this monotone, nasally voice. Okay, so, strip croquet, pound town on that mound, and then basically, is this the part where she says, like, I hate her, I'd love to see her killed? Or no, I want to see her puke her guts out. Yes. I want to see her puke her guts out. Okay, so the next morning...
He's immediately like, yeah, but what if she were dead?
Well... I think that's the next morning.
I think it was kind of implied in that scene, but perhaps you're right. Anyway,
no, you're fair enough, because he does give off the psycho vibe. Okay, so they go, you know, assuming she's hungover, it took me till the age of 29 and 8 months, which is about a month ago, to figure out how to not get hangovers from drinking too much. So they go to her place, and basically they're in the kitchen, and they say, you know, she's hungover, and Veronica wants to put eggs in a cup to make her throw up, right?
It was originally, it was orange juice and milk.
Oh, which would curdle the milk.
Yeah, curdle the milk, and it was like soup and something else.
Yeah, okay, gross stuff that wouldn't kill you, and then JD grabs the Drano.
Immediately.
And, like, super quick aside, like, so... If anybody's ever heard of the Hi-Fi Murders, you should look it up on Wikipedia or, like, listen to a podcast about it. But the key is, the Hi-Fi Murders, they basically did a home invasion of this record store, Hi-Fi record store. And they, so the way Drano is depicted as killing somebody on screen is super fast and, like, painless. But it's the exact opposite. And so the Hi-Fi Murder guys, so they used Drano thinking that it would kill the hostages super quickly because that's the way it's depicted. However, it is super painful, causes pus, it's terrible. So they capture them, they dump Drano down their throat, and they assume it's going to be quick, but it's the opposite. It causes blisters immediately, touching contact, whatever. It's taking too long, the hostages are screaming. They try to put tape over their mouth, but the tape won't stick because of the blisters. And so after reading about this years ago, like, drinking Drano is probably the worst way you could go. And so when he pours Drano in the cup, when I'm watching it the first time, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And then, you know, she kind of like, I don't ever want to get killed by anything, but I know it's going to happen, life. But she, like, grabs her throat and falls into the glass table. But in my mind, I'm just...
You went pretty fast at that scene, but...
Well, I mean, that's basically it. Okay. There is a part of the scene where basically there is actually... You're right. There is some sort of Princess Bride, which I think actually came out later. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, I think actually Princess Bride came out in 89. Don't quote me. We'll look that up later and prove I'm wrong. Yeah, because he grabs the Drano, pours it in his cup. She has the gross stuff in her cup. And there's a thing where she grabs hers, but possibly grabs his. And so you're not sure as the audience, right?
No, you actually know.
You do know. Okay.
Yeah, because he...
Oh, he goes up and says, I drink this. It's just, I'm not drinking that.
Well, actually what happens is that she grabs his cup, he looks down and sees that it's like some milky substance instead of the bright blue of the
Drano.
And he goes, oh, Veronica... Ah, never mind.
And that is important, you're right, because it establishes the psychopath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, you're right. Okay, so the key is, when he goes up, he has the Drano, she has the gross stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wakes up in her weird, super weird bed.
Yeah.
With like a heart
Everything
shape.
About that room is very weird.
It's super weird, yeah. So he says, drink this. She says, I'm not drinking that, you're trying to kill me or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna drink that piss.
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. Man, you have watched this movie again. No,
twice. It was earlier this afternoon. I watched it earlier.
No,
this afternoon.
Well, fair enough. I mean, and we have established that you are the king of remembering, like, details.
I don't know, you too.
Whereas I'm the flow guy.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. So she says, I'm not going to drink that piss. He says, I thought it was too strong for you.
Yeah, something like that. Basically calling her chicken.
Yeah, chicken. Like
and
a buck.
Yeah, and she's like, you think I'm going to drink that just because you called me chicken? And then she immediately says, all right, give me that cup.
Classic Marty McFly.
What? Yeah. Chicken?
Who are you calling a chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, I died. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you are, because like, I think when I watched it the first time, I was like, this is going to be some sort of weird shell game, right? Yeah. Where it's like, oh, no. That's Benny Hill. Yeah, it's Yakety Sax, pub trivia. You have to, it's called Yakety Sax.
It is called Yakety Sax. Yeah.
So she drinks that, which is Drano, does not turn into blister filled pus face as she should.
Yes.
Listeners, don't kill anybody, but if you do, don't use Drano thinking it's going to be quick.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Because then I'm going to be called to testify, because this is going to be Exhibit A, unless I get like a bunch of... Anyways, Heather Red is dead.
That was masterful.
Yes. So, the big takeaway from Heather Red, it kind of reminds me of Scream, because I know Scream came way, way, way later. I'm just saying it's what it reminds me of. Because, basically, they get to... Veronica is good at faking people's handwriting, so she fakes a suicide note. They talk about how she misspelled a word recently and things like that. So, Veronica writes a fake suicide note, JD's kind of suggestion.
Yeah.
Which, again, kind of establishes his character as kind of a sociopath.
Yeah, he looks at a book on the desk, and I actually meant to look this up and I forgot to. It's the bell jar. Mm. On her desk, she has the bell jar quick notes. He looks at it and goes, I have an idea, which I now am like, I should have looked this up and I totally forgot.
Well, the bell jar is like the thing about the guy who like only could write with one finger, right? And he like...
Oh, so maybe it's like...
Or is that the butterfly bell?
You guys are freaking me out.
I don't
know. We're going to keep this.
Yeah, we're definitely going to keep this. I just don't know what we're talking about anymore. So he sees the bell jar. I'll have to look it up at some point and figure out what that is. Either it has to do with someone's suicide or forging handwriting of some kind.
So he basically says, he kind of keeps his cool, and he says, write the suicide note. He suggests what to write. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said, Veronica kind of writes the note. And the key is that basically it looks like a suicide. And so at school, the next time we see them, Heather is more popular. So I don't want to show people too much about how the sausage is made, but we don't do this in one recording. And I just got yelled at for like 10 minutes about how I didn't describe some specific scene when Heather is more popular. And I even got like the sideshow 1, 2, 3. So apparently when Heather becomes more popular at school, there's a scene in a boardroom, and I don't really remember. Nicholas, maybe you can tell me more about this scene. This is our first and only take.
You're absolutely right. Man, it's so good to get this down in one take. So anyway, there's a boardroom scene after Heather dies where they're talking about how much time they can give the people for mourning.
I actually vaguely remember this because he said, damn, I'd give like half a day for a cheerleader.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the hippie teacher is like, well, no, we need to talk about our feelings and all of that. And the principal who's like playing, he's like trying to like unclog his pipe.
Now it's like a stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. Like unclog his pencil or his pipe with a pencil is essentially, he says like, call me when the shuttle lands.
That's right. Yeah, sick burn. Sick burn.
And then there's a scene in which the Heathers, the two remaining Heathers and Veronica are in the locker room. And they're kind of talking about what had happened. And Heather Green mm-hmm. was like eating something. And
is she the bulimic one?
Yeah. Okay. So earlier in the movie, kind of something we gloss over, there's a scene in a bathroom where Veronica's trying to console Heather Green.
When she cuts her nails and files her nails.
Yeah,
and to, like, help her friend out.
Well, no, yeah, and they're
with
like...
bulimia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she was like, Heather Red at that point, who was still alive, was like, bulimia, so 1987. This is set in 1988.
Classic.
She's like eating like fried chicken, and Veronica goes, watch out, Heather, I can see you digesting.
Oh.
Sick burn.
Yeah.
And then everyone's kind of talking about what's going on, and Veronica goes into the shower and washes herself, like turns on the shower with her clothes still on.
Oh, and that's classic, yeah, like,
which was super hot.
Classic trauma.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Telltale Heart.
Lady Macbeth. Out damn spot, right?
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Not the Scottish play?
No, Scottish tragedy?
It's probably
the Telltale Heart.
It's pretty obscure.
Yeah, who do I look like? William Shatner.
I love the banter. So let me interject real quick. You know who I feel like right now from Die Hard? The terrorist that was just thrown on the street, and Bruce Willis is now jeering out the window saying, welcome to the party, pal!
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. What are you guys talking about? I really don't remember remember too much from this movie. I've seen it goddamn twice.
Yeah, but seriously, welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do watch these movies twice, but as anybody will know, I have the worst memory on the planet. Unless the average, wait, what's it called? Camelopod?
Camelopod.
It's probably Camelopod. Yeah, so the average Camelopod has 200 spots.
For the listener, a camelopard is the Old English or Middle English word for a giraffe.
Yeah, camelopard.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Hit you all.
So anyway, wow, that's more insight into our trivia. Now, so anyway, after that scene, it goes from the gym to the funeral, actually. There's the funeral, right?
So it goes to the funeral. I don't remember shit about the funeral.
That's
you
my
guys
move.
Remember about the funeral?
That's my move!
Wow, okay.
Seriously.
So, no, yeah, so there's the funeral scene. There's an actor, and I meant to look him up. Shit.
It's the guy from Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
The priest.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean.
Shake Sinora.
Yeah, he was the exorcist from Beetlejuice.
I guess like this director loves to keep using the same actors.
Well, I mean, so didn't Tim Burton direct Beetlejuice?
I don't know. Wasn't this guy involved in Beetlejuice though? Cause I swear to God, like half of these actors are in fucking Beetlejuice.
I mean, Winona Ryder, Beetlejuice, the priest, Beetlejuice. Yeah.
I would not be surprised if most of the other like side actors were also in Beetlejuice.
It's part of Matthew Facts and me not really looking
Michael
up a whole
Keaton
lot about
Heather.
Matthew Facts. Yeah, it could be that there were some executive producer roles or things like that.
I meant
that
to look up this.
But it is the he's the exorcist from Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Which I immediately recognize.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. He's very iconic. So he kind of gives a stirring speech. And then
the funeral, anything significant happened in the funeral? Not much, right?
Not much. It was like the people kind of established their roles for Heather in the funeral.
Heather give a quick
prayer to God, and I actually love Ram's prayer because he actually sounds like he's having a conversation with God directly. He's like, "What's with all these dried up pussies? Am I right? It's a joke, man. Come on, what's with the deal?" Like, he actually like sounds like he's having a back and forth with God.
I mean, as a Catholic,
that's
what we do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The next thing that we don't do as Catholics, because it's not appropriate, is basically there's a nerd kind of outside the church, and I remember. Because a nerd and the two jocks, Ram and Ickelstein.
Kurt.
Ram and Kurt. I was about 80% of the way there.
Absolutely was.
There's a little German there somewhere.
Ram and Kurt, they basically go out and... the nerd trip over one of their feet or something?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He steps on the other... They walk past and he apparently like accidentally steps on the jocks.
Yeah. Yes.
He goes, "Hey, I think that
nerd... That bag or whatever, right? Yeah. Yeah, they say, so Ram and Ickelstein are basically like, "Let's kick his ass!"
These are waiver seniors.
Yeah.
Like, then they go to, like, scare him, and then the nerds, as I would do as a nerd in high school, would have just...
"Hey, everybody, like, this guy was a nerd."
Yeah. "Hey, fuck you." They basically give him a fuck you back. Like a sit and spin.
Yeah.
And so the chocks then are like, "Oh, well...
We gotta kick his ass now."
Yeah, so they start kicking.
Which is classic 80s Ohio.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So they start kicking this kid's ass and then
I have to say this part because it's one of the only things I remember because I'm the king of only remember a few parts of the movie where they're punching him in the face or whatever and they're like, "Say you suck big dicks." And he's like, okay. "You suck big dicks."
It's so good.
And then he just starts patting in the morning and he's like, okay. I suck big dicks.
And I just love it because the character really plays into it. It's like, "Oh, I love them. I can't get enough. I love big dicks.
I love big dicks in my mouth." I don't know why I got super Putin there. I love big dicks in my mouth.
I love big dicks. You know, Putin loved dicks. He would love big dicks.
I want to apologize officially to the ghost of Brandon Lee. Please don't murder me in the afterlife. And to the ghost of future Putin, aka now Putin. Please don't murder me.
Watch the nukes now.
He's like two Americans, three Americans.
I listen to this podcast.
I like big
dicks. Time to go to war.
Do they like big nukes? Okay, sorry, okay. So right. They beat up the nerd.
Right, and so at this point, Veronica and Heather were talking, and she was basically begging him to set up a date with her and...
Kurt and Eckelstein?
Yeah, no.
Ram!
Ram and Eckelstein.
Eckelstein keeps... Ram and Eckelstein, and then Eckelstein and... Oh, God.
Sorry for everybody trying to follow this
movie. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, welcome to the party, pal.
So she's trying to... Veronica wants to go out with Kirk. Ram needs a date. She's trying to set up a date with Veronica and Ram, even though she's like, I've got this thing going on with JD. She's like, just do me a favor, blah, blah, blah. So they go on a date, and she's... Veronica's like, make sure that it isn't...
Cow tipping! And I spent more than a few years in Ohio.
You know what's funny? Because I want you to stop doing cow clipping.
He made it. Listen up. This nerd made an audio joke, and I'm gonna beat him up for it.
I made a rhyming cow tipping, cow clipping joke. Anyway, yeah, so she's like, don't have him get drunk and go cow tipping, and that's immediately what they do, which is a classic joke.
Yeah, because cows fall asleep standing up like Mr. Ed, and you push him over.
Yeah.
And JD shows up. JD's there.
JD is there. You are absolutely right.
Why is he there?
Why is he there? That's a very good question.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, obviously, like, the whole movie establishes JD obviously has a relationship, healthy or not, with Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, especially with his trench coat mafia kind of deal, like, it makes sense that it's not unusual for him to be there given that he's a sociopathic stalker.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And this also doesn't establish, this isn't the first scene that kind of shows him just showing up wherever she is at random. Because if you remember, there was another scene previously right before they went to the Remington party where he buys her a slushie.
Oh, that's right. They establish the whole thing about like him like roller food and some consistency or some.
Yeah, exactly. So something that we kind of skipped over was that JD's character is...
Moves around a lot.
And not because he's like a Navy brat or something. His dad is into...
Demolition.
Yeah, demolition, but predatory demolition.
Okay, like, fair enough.
Yeah,
sure.
In a way, because he, in a scene after the funeral that we kind of didn't talk about...
Is that thing where he's like, them bitches blew them all to hell.
Yeah, so, yeah, his dad's into demolition. He's basically, like, the biggest, like, demolition guy in the... Is responsible for doing a lot of the construction in the major metropolitan area that they're, like, around, essentially.
Sure.
And they've moved from, like, state to state to state. They're, like, from Louisiana, because he says Baton Rouge, to somewhere else, who I can't remember, and then to Sherwood, Ohio. And so, yeah, they move around a lot. And
yes.
Apparently, the mother's not around either, because at that point, this is actually something that I had meant to mention, but the mother for JD isn't around. You never see her, and it's because when Veronica meets JD's father, she mentions that she can't stay for dinner because her mother's making her favorite meal, which is spaghetti with extra oregano.
Yes.
And then JD says, oh, the last time I saw my mother was she was waving from the window of a library.
What a nutcase.
Which is kind of a weird thing to say, right?
Yeah.
But that'll come into play later. Yeah. Anyway, they're at the date. And the reason why I brought this up, like I said, was because this establishes JD as kind of always being around wherever Veronica is.
A little stalkerish.
A little stalkerish. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, serendipity. Yep. It comes across as serendipity that JD just happens to always be there when it's probably more likely that he's fucking following her.
Well, I can see during the early parts of the movie where it seems serendipitous, but then obviously turns into stalkerish. I think is your point. Fair enough.
Yeah, and so... After the date, she comes into the newsroom, the newspaper room for the school newspaper, and they're talking about how one of the guys is getting shafted because Heather got her suicide story is getting the front page, and he's getting shafted and put next to the Taco Bell coupon.
And I think the probably the next thing is after they do the cow tipping is basically the rumor appears. So you know nothing happens at the cow tipping date, and they spread the rumor. Well, nothing as in sexually, but
well,
for Veronica.
For Veronica, yes.
Because that's the key part. Because the next part is the jocks, of course, spread that rumor that, and sorry listeners, sword fishing. They said, I heard that there was sword fishing.
Sword fighting.
Sword fishing.
Sword fishing.
Wait, did they say sword fishing?
No, they probably say sword fighting, but they say, I heard you sword fished, starring Hugh Jackman and John Travolta 20 years later in her mouth. Listen up, I'm doubling down on sword fishing.
This podcast has been brought to you by Glenlivet.
No, that's not true. We're not getting money from them.
No, yeah.
So, okay. So, there's a rumor that they sword fight or sword fish. I'm gonna keep saying sword fishing. Either you edit this or you explain this. So they sword fish in her mouth, and so she says, you know, basically, no, there was not.
Yeah, there was basically no rumor, or there was no basis of the rumor, but you can't fight a rumor, essentially.
Yes, and JD says, hey, we should, he mentions the bullets, the Ichtlige. Yeah. I don't speak German.
Ichtlige.
Yeah. Which I looked up on, which basically says, I'm lying, but okay, so he's loading, you know, so at the very first scene you meet him, he loads these blanks, and so he's loading these bullets, rounds, and she says, oh, are we gonna kill them? He says, no, these are
right. So it's gonna be like paintballs. It's gonna knock them
out.
It's gonna break the skin. It's gonna look like they're dead. They're gonna be unconscious. Then we're gonna plant a suicide note next to their bodies, and we're gonna put some paraphernalia, gay paraphernalia.
Like mineral water.
It was mascara, sparkling water, photos of Joan Crawford.
And some, like, new dude magazine, who I can't remember. It was like Stud Fancy or something.
I mean, I spent many years in Ohio. I was beaten up on by my co-host while I was in Ohio, unable to defend myself. And I can't vouch for the fact that if you do have mineral water in Ohio, it's better now, but definitely in the 80s, not good.
So that's the thing where I'm like, is mineral water, like, was it ever a thing where if you drank mineral water, you were gay?
In Ohio.
You won them fags.
Because like JD does say the lines, like, if you didn't have a bud in your hand, you might as well be a lady.
I mean,
So anyway, they concoct this plot to basically make it look like they're going to commit double suicide.
Right.
To, like, clear this rumor.
So they meet up with the guys. JD shoots one of them.
So they meet up with Veronica.
Yeah.
Veronica says, I have two circles.
Yep.
And they say,
a circle.
No, two circles on each side.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. And she says, you know, hey, we're going to make this happen. She says, strip off your clothes. Yeah. They strip essentially naked.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. And basically, then JD appears out of nowhere.
Yeah. And shoots one of the, she goes, all right, on the count of three.
Yeah.
You guys run at me and rip off my clothes.
Right.
And she goes, three, two. And then at that point, JD comes out and goes, one, shoots the guy. Ram.
In the throat.
Yeah. And then she goes to shoot and just misses altogether.
And then Ichtlige gets away.
Yeah.
So Ichtlige starts running, and I remember Jack Dagnall's goes, you missed completely, and she's like, it was worth it!
Yeah,
and he's like, I got him!
Yeah.
And he starts running around.
Right.
And the cops!
So Veronica, like, inspects the body.
Not yet.
Well, while they're running, scene, while they're running.
Yeah, she sees that, these aren't fake bullets, this is the real deal, and that's when she starts to realize, okay, this is it.
Kind of, because that'll come around later, because they're running around the forest, and I'm like, where are they going? And essentially they attract the attention of some that comes later. They basically, he chases JD.
Ichtlige.
JD chases Kirk, who in this case is Ichtlige. JD must be the fastest fucking run on the planet. Because
there were a few points where it makes no sense.
Yeah, he comes
and there was a few
points
where, like, like a 1 foot away, and he, like, does the thing where he's like, ah! And I'm like, why don't you shoot? And he's like, oh, the chase is back on.
Yeah, and then, exactly. I was like, okay. So basically he chases him. The reason why is so that he can chase him back into the circle.
Yeah.
So to make it look like a double homosexual homicide.
You did the thing where you picked up on details I didn't.
So he didn't shoot because it's like, well, that would be way too convenient, or not at all even remotely convenient, actually, for him to die out here. He needs to die there.
My righteous anger has been dispelled.
Yeah. Man, this guy's good. Remember I say good. Nicholas is good.
Yeah, he's good.
Pretty good at this. So anyway, he chases Ichtlige
Ichtlige!
Back into the clearing, and this is why I was like a little bit trepidatious to say that she realized what was happening, because she immediately puts up her gun and shoots him right in the chest.
Well, so she inspected the body though.
Yeah.
So she inspected the body. And so like, and that was actually, I did not understand this part of the movie, because had she not inspected the body, she had plausible deniability that, there we go, brought to you by youknowwhat.com. Had she not inspected the body, it was like, oh, she has plausible deniability, but like she clearly inspected the body, and the movie made a big deal about her inspecting the body, but then JD chases Ickelstein back to the circle, which I will accept. I yield my point about that, not making sense. And then she shoots Ickelstein.
Yeah.
And so.
In the chest.
Yeah. And so like, at that point to me, it's like, oh, she's a murderer too.
Yeah. And so that cuts from there. There's a scene where like they're getting chased by the police, the most like the retarded police on the planet.
They're smoking that.
They were like they were high easily.
Yeah.
They were like which I feel like every adult in this movie is fucking high.
Are you not?
Well,
maybe that was the point of the movie. It's like
it might be.
This was the adolescent world, and all the adults are just dumb as shit.
Yeah. So yeah, at this point they get away from the police by like outrunning one of the police officers.
Because there was two shots. The one says, you hear that, and they chase him.
Yeah.
But then when they get to the double, the murder-suicide, JD and Veronica run away.
And they kind of get away by, like, pretending like they're making out with each other. At this point, we're going to kind of try and speed things up a little bit, because the rest of what happens is a lot of, like, circumstantial things that can be kind of pieced together pretty well. So at this point, Veronica breaks up with JD because she never really meant to murder these people. She just kind of was led into it by the circumstance of JD. He kind of coerced her into murdering these people. You could potentially say that she wanted to kill Heather Red, but I don't think that she actually wanted to kill Kirk and Ram.
Well, I don't even think she wanted to actually kill Heather Red.
I mean,
how many times have we all said, you know, I wish I could kill this person?
Or that person was out of my life or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, at this point, they're, after the point where they kill Kirk and Ram, they're sitting in the car having fallen asleep at the school parking lot, I guess, because the entire world of this movie exists around that fucking school. So they wake up and they start smoking. Apparently she picked up smoking. They never really established that, but she picks up smoking and
it will come into play later.
But she goes to like light her cigarette and then instead chooses to burn herself. Like the cigarette falls out of her mouth and then she just puts the cigarette lighter into her hand and burns herself. And then JD does the most fucked up thing I've ever seen, which is also physically not possible, and light his cigarette with her burning hand. Which is like not physically possible, like I said, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so they break up. They're totally split. And so JD then is like, you're going to be back. And in order to do that, he concocts this plan. And the plan is kind of obtuse at first. You can see him starting to, like, in a way, seduce, not sexually, but like to the dark side.
Influence.
Yeah, that's fair. Heather Green, who had kind of earlier on been established as like wanting to step into Heather Red's position, because like in one of the croquet scenes, she wanted to have the blue or have.
Well, she picked red.
Yeah, she wanted to have the red.
I was like, you know, I'm always red.
Yeah, and so, yeah. And so she is influenced by JD to like fill in the void by like becoming strong. You know what the school needs is strength. It doesn't need any of this fully coolly.
Well, and JD does coerce her because he shows pictures of her with dump truck.
Yeah. The fat girl from the lunchroom scene.
Yeah, and basically says, you know,
hey, you were friends before. Remember that? No one's ever going to think you were cool if you were friends with Martha Dump Truck or whatever the fuck her name
was. And he says, you know, basically, if you gather signatures for this petition, I will give you the film's pictures and the names.
Yes, exactly.
Back when you could do that. So there is some coercion.
Yeah, there is some coercion, but it wasn't really that big of a deal. He's like, it was a mafia thing. It was like, hey, I'm going to do this thing that you want me to do, and I'm going to ask for a favor later. And the favor probably won't actually be that bad.
Sure is a nice house there. Be a shame if anything happened to it.
Yeah, in a way, kind of. And so she's like, okay, yeah, I'll start passing around this petition. That's not a big problem at all. So they start passing around this petition.
Which is a very lunchroom poll style.
Yeah, kind of similar to
are similar.
Yeah, kind of similar to Heather Red. And at some point in this kind of scenario, Heather Yellow has like fallen into a depression. I think she always was kind of depressed, but at some point, Heather Yellow calls into a radio show. And at that point, Heather Green and Veronica had been like interacting with each other. Like Veronica confronted Heather Green to be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you acting like this? You're not the person that you actually are, essentially. And Heather Green actually comes into Veronica's house, much like Heather Red would do, and basically butts into their life while they're having some talk about pate or whatever, because this is the third point that they had done that whole bit about pate.
That's right. Confused.
Yeah, well, right, because like they did
three.
Yeah, because they did another scene at some point with the whole like, why am I doing this? Oh, you too. Blah, blah, blah.
Right, and because you're dumb, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then this is the third point where it kind of goes off. You can tell that the world is kind of splitting off skew.
Sure.
Because at this point, Heather Green, who is now Heather Red, in a sense, says, like, oh, I love you, pate. And, like, kind of fills in for Veronica Red's character there. Also, during this period, Veronica has started to reach out to one of her older friends that was kind of established during the lunchroom scene. Her name's Betty Fink.
Betty.
And so they have like a croquet scene, which is kind of interrupted by the Heathers.
Well, the kind of key is basically Veronica is establishing a new order, mm-hmm. I feel, and she invites Betty.
Yeah.
And then that new order is interrupted by the previous order, the two Heathers.
Yeah. Yes. And like we said, Heather Green is trying to fill in for Heather Red. And I am, we'll see with like mixed results. During all this time, there's been like this talk up about the impact of suicide and like how it plays into like the people's lives, and like does it aggrandize a person's life if they like burn out young, that sort of thing.
Live fast, die young.
Well, I mean, there's that whole song that they keep talking about, which is a really shitty song as soon as they play, which is like a band called Big Fun that doesn't exist.
Right.
And it's their number one song, the hit song of the summer, is Teenage Suicide.
Teenage Suicide.
Don't do it. Teenage Suicide, not parentheses, don't do it. Teenage Suicide, comma, don't do it. What a great song title.
I mean, I'd buy that album.
Because, you know, like, my favorite song from Weezer was the sweater song, comma, yeah. Don't pull it apart. During, like, and the reason why we bring this up is that at this point, there are these big aggrandizing events have occurred when these major, like, popular / political parties have killed themselves. The jocks have tried to kill themselves. Heather Red killed herself. And at this point, Heather Yellow was talking about her depression on the radio show.
Right, yeah, yeah. The thing where she's like, my name is Madonna.
Oh, no, whatever, it's whatever. Tweety.
Yeah, Tweety. Oh, Tweety Bird. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gives the fake name.
And she's like, I'm not actually happy, but I think that I should be because I'm so young and I'm so beautiful, blah, 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 blah. And then she immediately the next day tries to kill herself by taking too many sleeping pills. And Veronica stops her in the bathroom.
Right, because there's a thing where I don't remember who spreads kind of that rumor about her calling in that radio show. But yes, Veronica basically confronts her in the bathroom.
No, I don't think there was actually a rumor.
Oh.
It was that her and, because like I said earlier in the podcast, her and Heather Green actually listened into the radio show that Heather Yellow called into. And she's like, my name's Heather. Oh, wait, it's not Heather.
It's Madonna. Oh, wait, no, it's not. That's it's stupid. Tweety.
It's Tweety. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well the key is that Veronica is basically like, kind of stops her from committing suicide.
Yeah, and in the most caring way possible, she like grabs her mouth while she has like a mouthful of sleeping pills.
Right.
And pushes them all out, and then says, like, let's go hang out. Basically, which is the best way to stop anyone from committing suicide is like,
sure.
I care about you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so she's like, let's go do something. She's like, do you want to go do something lame, like buy shoes? And she's like, yes.
Which is totally awesome, by the way.
I absolutely
agree. Girls should be buying shoes. That's sex next scene. Awesome.
Anyone should go do anything with anybody else, no matter how lame it is. Do you know how, like, many times I go to Gameworks with Drew?
What's,
a lot.
What's lame about that? Gameworks?
Nothing. It's awesome. Exactly.
Yeah.
This, if you enjoy something, it's not lame.
Absolutely agree. Yes. So, okay, so at this point, the next thing I remember, because I'm dumb and I don't remember anything, JD talks to Veronica's parents, mm-hmm. right, and basically says, you know, she's going to kill herself.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a part where, like, there's threatening parts? Like,
yes.
Basically, yeah, okay, so yeah. He, like, he basically, I guess, I'm going to summarize some stuff, I forget. And basically, she comes home, and they say, JD talked to us and said we should keep you away from sharp objects, blah, blah, blah. And she goes to her room, and there's a Barbie doll hanging.
Yes, absolutely. And this, like, a little bit before that, just to give some context, JD had confronted Veronica and said, like, you're going to come back to me. I know you will.
Because creepy boyfriend.
He's like, I'm right. You're wrong. Like, how can you not, like, realize this? Like, I'm so smart and you're so stupid.
I mean, he is Christian Slater.
So he's totally not at all right.
I think it's dreamy.
Anyway, so, yeah, but he says, like, the creepiest thing in the world. It's like, I'm right. You're wrong. And so, yeah, Veronica's parents are basically like, JD came and said, like, you're considering suicide. Like, maybe we should keep you away from sharp objects, and
she just walks away.
Yeah, and she walks away, and they keep talking to each other about the various ways that she could kill herself. And
this is, like, classic Wasp.
Yeah.
Classic Wasp.
And she's not even in the room.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah, you are correct. And so, this is the fake suicide, right? Mm-hmm. Where, so basically, you know, it looks like she killed herself, but she tied part of the sheet around her waist, so the weight was around her waist.
Yeah.
And JD Sams, Clear Sir, explains it all, into her room, and basically says, you know, I was coming back here to convince you to come back to me, but really, I was gonna kill you, and I'm gonna blow up the school tomorrow, but it's a shame you can't be here for that, cause you killed yourself, and then, her mom says, yeah,
to be clear, JD says, like, oh wow, I didn't think that you were going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I was coming up here to kill you.
Yeah.
And it was like, what a weirdo. Yeah.
So,
and then,
it's so great, because when you mention that Carissa, like, the
classic Sam, dude, yeah, classic, yeah, Sam. Yes.
Chris is dead.
Yeah. This one, like, yeah, if Sam had come out, I mean,
oh my god, Chris has now come full circle.
Oh yeah, exactly. But yeah, and so he basically explains his motive.
Yeah, blow up the school.
Yeah. So the petition that he had asked Heather Green, who's now Heather Red, to sign, is she thought it was to get
the band.
The
fun.
Band.
Super big fun.
Big fun.
Super fun.
Yeah, super fun. This is a man to get super fun to come and play at the prom, yeah, when in reality he had, like, covered up by some stupid method, aka tape, what the real petition was.
If I was going to make a petition, I would make the first page whatever I want, and
yeah,
page two after the actual signatures, so it could be, like, anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it was basically, he got everyone to sign a petition that said
a suicide pact.
Yes. It was like us blowing up the school is not a representation of the failure of society, but of society itself.
Blah, blah, blah.
So Veronica, like, realizes all this, and, like, her mom, like, finds her in her room after, like, hanging, like, she finds her hanging in her room, much like JD did, but it turned out that she had
tied part of the sheet around her waist.
Yeah,
to carry the weight.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what's for dinner, spaghetti?
Science.
And so, she, at this point, like, JD is like, we see, like, a montage of JD preparing, like, the bombs that he's gonna use to blow up the school. There's, like, a kind of a funny joke, a callback to, like,
the dad-son reversal.
Yeah. Hey, son, can you help me with my homework? Oh, sorry, Tiger, I'm kind of busy with work. And he's, like, tying up a bomb, essentially.
Right. Yeah, dynamite sticks.
Yeah, and so, which are, like, the classic, like, Acme bomb, I'm gonna blow up this coyote. So anyway, he's, like, taping them to various parts of the school, he's taping them to the upper parts of the school.
Point of order, he tapes them to a pipe.
No, and he tapes them to the bleachers.
A structural loading pipe. He does tape them to the bleachers. However, later, he tapes them to a pipe.
Yes.
Yeah. And that made me mad, because it was totally unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it actually kind of made sense.
The pipe?
Yes, here's why.
No, it didn't.
Here's why. Because we're going to skip ahead quite a bit because there's a bunch of bullshit that kind of happens. Like, he confronts Veronica and there's like a fight scene that's like really ineffective. So the idea is that he's going to blow up the boiler room with a real bomb.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the real bomb is the one that he ties to the pipe. The pipe doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the bomb.
Yeah.
Well, that's our joke.
Yeah. Well, no.
I get it, like the dad is the demolitions guy, and the son is, you know, okay, he has insight as to, like, the structural capability.
I-beams.
Yeah, where to put explosives, because dad is an explosive expert, yada yada.
Because they actually mentioned that in the movie, where when they first meet the dad, or no, the second time they meet the dad, which we kind of glossed over, he's like, yeah, we fucking got those old bitches.
Yeah.
I tied incendiary bombs to, like, these pillars, and then I did a real bomb at the basement, and it blew everything up. And then Veronica, basically, as soon as, like, she saw what he was doing, was essentially saying the same thing, like, oh, you're tying a real bomb to the bottom, who cares where it is, and with incendiary bombs at the top, which the top were tied to the bleachers.
Well, I mean, the key that we're trying to say is basically he was electrically taping a bomb to a water pipe.
Yes.
which is not...
Yeah, who cares about the water pipe? It was essentially he wanted to blow the bigger... Yeah.
You're right. The key is he wants to, you know, he did tie bombs to the bleachers, which, by the way, is never dealt with later.
Yeah.
Because he has a bunch of timers. And then
actually, you're right.
Yeah, because, like, okay, so ignoring the bleachers, you know, ignoring the pipe, he makes a bomb, and then his whole thing, he flips her off, she shoots his finger off.
Yeah.
And then he stabs...
Which is the best. I'm so great.
It is actually pretty badass.
Yeah, and then he stabs the...
He stabs the actual bomb with his knife. What happened to the bomb in the bleachers?
Well, I think that they actually wouldn't have gone off without the primary bomb going off.
How?
No, that was the point. The point...
In the 80s.
No, that was the point, because they actually made a point of order where the bigger bomb blows off the incendiary bombs. And they actually talk about that. They talk about it twice.
I guess at that point it's basically a blasting cap, but on a bigger scale.
Yes.
I'll accept your point.
I'm willing to accept that isn't how things work in reality. However, they establish that's the way that they...
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I accept your point. Okay. So, and so basically she shoots him multiple times.
He dies the slowest death I've ever seen someone die.
Well, I mean, if you establish kind of the whole thing where it's like, okay, you know, just assume that he knows about military, right? He has a vest. Fine. Cause that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. And so she shoots him, assume it's over. She goes out front.
Yeah. And she's like fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, looking like shit. And everyone's like, and during this time, by the way, I want to specify that everyone is gathered into the gym.
For a pep rally.
Yeah, pep rally. Yeah. And the boiler room happens to be under the gym.
Of course.
And so, that's why he kind of did what he was going to do, is like blow up the school because everyone was there. She goes outside and she's like, I think I'm fine, because she thinks that she's killed him.
Yeah.
Miraculously, he survived and also somehow pulled off the entire bomb that he was going to blow up the school with and attached it to his body.
I will actually allow that based on our previous point.
Yeah.
In that, if you assume that there was only one charge, and if you assume that he has kind of yielded defeat, and he takes that and puts it to himself, and adrenaline will, of course, allow him to get up front.
Yeah.
That was actually fine.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It was just...
He's yielded defeat. So the next thing you see, she goes outside, and basically JD comes outside. And I remember because he kind of bumps by her, right?
Kind of. It was weird. Like, she came in the right-hand side door, and he came in the left-hand side door.
Right.
And then they kind of, like, talk to each other in a weird way.
Like, there was, like, a bump thing, right?
Kind of. And to establish, like, that he was still there. And like, you've got power.
Yeah,
power
that I didn't. Yeah, because she shot off his finger because he flipped her off.
Which was amazing.
It actually was totally fantastic. Yeah, okay, so he's outside, he's missing a finger, and he says, you've got power. And he says, pretend I blew up the school or something like that.
Yeah, and now the slate is clean.
Sets the timer on his bomb. So basically, he explodes.
Yeah.
She is covered in soot.
Yeah.
And she goes back and kisses the other Heather.
Yeah, and takes the...
The red headband, which establishes dominance, and said, there's a new sheriff in town.
Yes.
And then dump truck rides around her. Well, on her scooter.
Well, yeah, because she walks up to dump truck, the fat girl, the super unpopular
Martha.
Girl. Yeah. and is just whose name is Dunsock, Martha Dunsock,
or
whatever, first name Dunsock, and is basically like, hey, my prom date cancel on me. Do you want to basically bro out and be bros? And she's like, I would love to bro out. And they basically decide to bro out. And then, like, because they can't do a dance montage because Martha Dunsock,
aka Dumbtrack,
had tried to commit suicide, she's broken physically.
Into a rascal
montage. Into a rascal montage. And that's basically the way
And that's the movie.
Yeah. And cut.
And scene.
Okay, so now we get into our initial impressions.
So my initial impressions. So the reason that all of you had to listen to this crazy long podcast is because of me. Because my initial impressions were of the movie Heathers because I couldn't find popcorn to set. I remember watching TV when I was a child and there was a commercial for USA and I remember it said Party Down with Christian Slater. And no, I like, if somebody can find this, please send it to me because I'm not lying. And it had him as JD jumping over the log in Heathers. That's why I suggested this.
That's incredible. I'm actually going to try and find this and include this in a link to
If you can find this, I will be so happy.
I'm going to try.
Because it was in the USA commercial and so I know it's a cult classic.
Certainly.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay, go back to the podcast. My first impressions, because I'm going to count my first and second. I'm going to pretend I didn't see it.
Yeah.
The first impressions, I have mentioned the 90-minute movie and how I'm a fan. And this movie is like 104 minutes.
It's 147. It's essentially 150. Might as well be 2 hours.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, because I remember this movie being kind of short, but I guess I could be wrong.
It's that total runtime?
Was that kind of total runtime or just movie time?
It's 147 total runtime.
Okay, because I think movie time might be more of my 90-minute movie.
That's true. Because there's a lot, like, the actual intro is kind of long.
And that's the thing. My first impression, dense.
Yeah.
My first impression, very dense. I enjoyed the first screening, but it was dense. And that's where I'm going to leave it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Matt.
Hated it.
Really?
Fair enough.
So first screening, I'd give it a D. Terrible.
Yeah.
I hated it. But then I made the comparison of what they were trying to do as to today, you know, doing the whole, like, Deadpool kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're trying to separate. Back in the 80s, they had all these, you know, teen, grown-up kind of movies and, you know.
16 Candles. 16 Candles. Breakfast Club.
Yada, yada, yada. The, you know, your typical nerdy type movies. And then, boom, they come out with this black comedy to change it up. And that's where it becomes a cult classic. So what I like to think is, you know, Deadpool today, you know, 30, 40 years from now, someone's going to be like, Deadpool, what the fuck? Think about satire movies, right? You need to have that context to be able to like, oh yeah, that's great that you're making fun of X-Men, you're making fun of the Avengers, yada yada yada, awesome. The same sort of situation with Heathers. They're making fun of all those, you know, grown-up kind of movies. So I give the second screening probably
stand by the second screening.
Yeah, because you're coming.
Did I jump way ahead?
You did a little bit. It's all good.
You are right though. And that judging a movie without context, not fair.
Yeah, and so I'll give my initial impressions as well. So we all, the three of us, watched it the first time essentially together. Matthew had seen it ahead of us, like, but not really.
It was when I was a kid, man. Yeah. Somebody find that commercial
because I remember watching
with Christian Slater.
I remember watching the Street Fighter 2 movie and thinking it was great, and
Wait, whoa.
Or not Street Fighter 2, just Street Fighter the movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because this is Street Fighter the movie is but you fantastic. Have, like,
it's great, however, as an adult, if you go back and watch it, you realize
it's still super great. Got it.
It's the guy from the Addams Family dying of cancer as M. Bison, the strongest man on the planet.
The last movie he ever,
I don't know why you ruined this for me.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm sorry.
I knew these facts. But I ignored them, and that movie's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna fight you in real life.
Wow, okay. So after this movie, join us for our twitch.tv fight IRL.
I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming it's me fighting you and winning.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. Essentially. Yeah. So anyway, my initial impression of this movie, like, we watched it all together, the three of us, having split, I would say, 80% of a bottle of scotch. And I remember at some point, like, coming back to the couch and being like, is this movie still on?
It felt
It feels so much longer than it actually is.
I remember watching significantly longer runtime movies.
Yeah.
And feeling shorter.
Yeah. It's, this movie's incredible.
It is. And for better or worse, right? In this movie, you know, it's like, when I watched it the second time and, you know, to my credit, when I invented this podcast and I invented this format.
Yeah.
Which
thank
I invented.
Thank God for you.
Which I invented.
Yeah. I had no part in the invention of this podcast. Hey, or this idea. So let's hear your second screening.
Okay, so my you know, I invented this podcast, this format. My first screening, I felt its length. When I watched this movie, it felt shorter. As in, like, I think that the key was I was able to ignore the wasted parts of the second screening, and I was able to basically take in the more poignant points. And so when I invented this format and this podcast for my second screening, it did not feel as long. Whereas the first time it felt, my God, the first time felt very long.
Oh, wow.
The second screening, I enjoyed it way more.
Yeah, then that's fair.
Yeah.
So, Matt, how do you feel?
So when I saw it the second time, I understood what they're going for. It was, you know, trying to separate from everything that's been established throughout that genre or that generation.
16 Candles.
Yeah. So, you know, they're doing the whole anti-hero thing. The first screening, I don't know what the hell was going on. I couldn't, you know, connect with it.
It was so dense.
It was very dense.
First screening was so dense.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And there wasn't enough CG in there.
Every
scene wasn't, you know, dense with, you know, a lot of action,
characters.
Also characters, and like a lot of stuff going on. I'd give it like a C plus.
First screen C plus?
No, second screen C plus.
C plus.
We'll summarize. I'm dumb.
Yeah, in a second. So my second screening actually happened earlier today, and that's
my move.
Yeah,
I pulled
them
hours before.
That it kind of helped us out, I think, because I was able to remember fucking anything about this movie. And
remember everything.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Because this movie is incredibly dense. As my colleagues have said, this movie is so ridiculous, resplendent with things that are happening. And so, I'll talk about this. My first screening, when we watched it, we watched it all together. We were pretty drunk. And I thought that I wasn't able to follow the movie. Mm-hmm. However, my second screening, I just realized that this movie makes so many drastic changes in scene that I thought that I just wasn't following along. Mm-hmm. I actually was probably less drunk than I thought I was, and that I didn't actually forget periods of the scene where they tie things together. They just cut to entirely different scenes.
You know what? I'm not as angry about that as I should be. In that, a lot of movies, I feel, have to spell things out.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching this movie the second time, it's like, okay, it's dense.
Yeah.
And I will give it, and I will give it that. Yeah. However, you know, it gives you all the information you need as a viewer.
Yeah. However, like, from my point of view, like, going into this movie, much like how I felt like going into Gravity or The Fountain, where I was like, shit, I'm in for a slog. In this movie, I wasn't for a slog.
Hmm.
The Fountain actually wasn't as much of a slog as I thought
it was
the second time.
The viewers can't see me pushing my biceps up to the mic.
I should put that on Pinterest somewhere.
Yeah.
His tattooed arm of The Fountain. Yeah. However, this movie, like, going into it, I was just like, God damn, I'm in for another. I literally put in my head, I'm going to start watching this, and 3 hours later, I'm going to be done. It's an hour and 47 minute long movie.
It feels long.
It feels so long. So I'm actually going to say that I actually liked it more the second time, which is surprising because I already knew that I hated every fucking character in this movie. But for some reason, I was able to look past that and kind of appreciate it in a weird way where you would look at old movies and be like, oh, this is very fun, like Beetlejuice or any other Jason Hughes movie. In a way, you would be like, this is neat but not good. John Hughes, not Jason Hughes.
No, Jason Hughes.
Yeah, Jason Hughes. I don't know why I keep saying Jason Hughes.
I love Jason
because Hughes. Because I got so stuck on James Dean versus Jason Dean. Are you making a Friday the 13th reference right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So anyway. My second screen was actually fairly positive, whereas, like, watching it was hard to watch, but not terrible. Whereas, like, the first time we watched it, I was just like, is this, like I said, is this movie still on? Like, how the fuck? So anyway, let's give your grade of it.
We'll summarize. Yes. I also felt the second screening was easier, probably because I think mentally I was able to ignore parts that I thought were boring. I feel like if this movie was divided into four acts, I think the third act was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Which is the gathering of allies, the signing of the petition, blah, blah, blah. I think if they would have cut that out, it would have been much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second screening, I was able to mentally ignore that because I knew it was coming. So I'm going to go B, first screening,
wow,
to B plus.
Oh, interesting.
Second screening. I enjoyed it more the second time because I mentally ignored everything I didn't care about.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
The first screening, I hated it.
Fair enough. You're allowed to hate stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'm not! No.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
So, I would probably give it a D plus.
Fair enough.
First screening.
Yeah.
Because it was so hard to kind of link up with everyone. There's a lot going on, like mm-hmm. you were saying before. But when the second screening, it was kind of coming together as to like what the intention was, in my opinion. It's a C plus, but still not my favorite. Would I watch it again? So this is where I'd like to critique.
The third screening package see you on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Pinterest. So third screening podcast, I admitted that.
If I was forced to watch it again, would I watch it on my own volition? No, probably not. So that's where I'd probably give a C.
Yeah.
So B to C, but wait,
D straight D.
D straight
C plus.
C plus.
Would I watch it again? No.
That's allowed. I'm essentially in the same arena as Matt, our guest, because I would give this, my initial screening, a D+. I really didn't care for this the first time I saw it. It was a solid D+, and I couldn't actually tell you why. It was like, part of it was like, we were pretty drunk at that point. Like, while we're watching it, this is not the movie to watch while you're inebriated in any kind, because there's just so dense. So much fucking shit is going on. And
that's why I don't drink.
That's, yeah, Matthew's never drank.
I've
unlike all the
alcohol, inappropriate.
Unlike all the other episodes where we establish that Matthew is either drunk while we're watching, recording, or hungover.
That doesn't sound like me.
No, absolutely not. No. So this was a movie that we did kind of a disservice watching the first time. So,
I disagree. We have talked about many movies that we have given a disservice.
Sure.
I think any movie that we have given a disservice, we have made up for.
Okay.
In the second screen.
Yeah, you're right.
And that is the beauty that I love about my invention of this podcast and this
idea.
Not
at all. I was not at all remotely associated.
You weren't even there.
No.
Yeah.
I just had the person with all the equipment and the gung-ho attitude.
Bought equipment. And look how well it's fared us.
Oh, so great.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would give it a D+ initially. And this movie is so hard for me to categorize on my second screening. Because like I said, the first screening we watched it, kind of inebriated. I didn't really understand what was going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like this movie or not. That's the problem with this. It's like, here's my thing. And this, one of the things I want to touch on is like, and I forgot to in my second screening synopsis, I don't know if I like this movie or not right now.
That's intense, because like usually
I'm
the second screen
we've
decided
exactly, but on my second screening I don't, with Matthew, our guest, I agree that I probably would not watch this movie again. However, I can't say that I dislike this movie. I went in disliking this movie.
Sure.
And I actually found that I liked it better, which is surprising for me, because usually I will like a movie and then like it less. If I like a movie initially, I will either plateau or go above.
That's why we need that Google Doc.
Yeah.
Sorry, the G Doc.
Whatever.
No, and I need money.
So they don't get money from me. And so I'll give it a D+ as my initial and a solid C as my secondary.
Sure.
But not because it doesn't deserve a B. Here's the problem I have with it. It has all the framework for a movie that I would feel was either a B or an A. It just doesn't do a good enough job of establishing reasons for the characters to do the things that they're doing. Like, Winona Ryder's character does numerous things that don't make sense. Why would she break up with her best friend Betty Finks to get with the Veronicas? Because cool people are cool? Who gives a shit about that? Oh, like, maybe the 80s were different, blah, blah, blah. But then once she realizes that JD is killing people for real life, and like the Ick Luge bullets, I'm lying bullets, yeah. Like, that's such a bullshit thing. You've already killed one person. If I killed one person, I would be immediately traumatized for life and wouldn't have anything to do with the people who were associated with that.
May I ask you this, though?
Yeah.
In that I understand your point.
Yeah.
I'm not dismissing it. One, people do weird things mm-hmm. when exposed to extreme amounts of stress.
Yes.
I guess two, in for a penny and for a pound. And three, I guess, you know, a lot of movies I think are good for not spelling out why people do weird things.
I agree. However, this movie doesn't do a good enough job for establishing why certain characters would do certain things. Like, why would Winona Ryder's character, she obviously hates killing these people.
Sure.
She doesn't want to actually kill these people, and JD gaslights the shit out of her.
What does gaslight mean? I saw that on Reddit the other day.
It's not a new term. It's actually a pretty old term.
No, I understand that. What does it mean?
So basically, the idea of gaslamping is basically you're like, you feel this way, you feel this way, you feel this way.
It's like emotional manipulation.
Then you light. Yeah, exactly. Like, which actually, JD's character is the exact definition of a gaslamper. Is like,
fair enough.
He's like, you're going to come back to me because this is the way society is. I'm right, you're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. He is the exact definition of a gaslamper.
Understood. Fair enough.
Yeah, and so...
I accept that. Fair enough.
Like, her character didn't... Like, her reasons didn't make any sense to me. A lot of the characters, like, everything that people were doing were basically, like, the director or the writer or someone was trying to make a point, but they weren't good enough to make the point that they were trying to make.
And they weren't good enough to make it through the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
And so, this movie, I feel like, it gets a C. I actually liked it better the second time because I could see what it was trying to do.
Fair enough.
Didn't do a good enough job. All right. Yeah. Cool. And so that's our second screening. And so I believe that we're going to pull back and go a little bit crazy on our next movie.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, we're going to watch Street Fighter. Nope, actually.
Because I've watched it 1,000 times. It's not eligible.
No, we're going to watch that... potentially Pile of Crap Suicide Squad.
Oh, I love it!
Yeah, go on.
I didn't say a thing. We're gonna watch Suicide Squad.
We're gonna watch Suicide Squad on our next episode of Second Screening.
Greetings and salutations.